And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. We've got a very interesting update in an ongoing saga between the Trump administration and the elite Harvard University, right? Private university costs, I don't know what, $70,000 a year, some nonsense amount of money to go there. They have decided, and when I say they, meaning the university themselves, have decided that they are going to give the Trump administration the middle finger as it relates to various federal policies that have been changed over the last 4 months and do whatever they want. Trump's been in office now 4 months and, what, 2 days here in the 22nd of April? So they've decided that they are going to give the Trump administration the middle finger and go forward and do whatever they want. That's what they have decided to do. The Trump administration said, hey, we're going to pull some federal funding. You guys don't want to play by the rules, then you don't get anything done. You're not going to get the federal funding. You're not going to get the money that the United States government, for whatever reason, that's a completely different discussion. But for whatever reason, the hundreds of millions of dollars that you get from the federal government every year while charging an exorbitant amount for admissions into your elite university. So they decided not to play ball, and the Trump administration said, okay, we're going to take your money. We're going to pull some of your federal funding. So what has Harvard decided to do? Not get in line, not go, okay, you know what? New sheriff in town, new regime in Washington, D.C. Things are changing. Let's get on board so we don't lose our money. No. What instead has Harvard done? They have decided to file a lawsuit against the Trump administration after it pulled over $2 billion in federal funding to the Ivy League institution over accusations that the school is not doing enough to target anti-Semitism. The university wrote in the lawsuit, quote, "The government has not and cannot identify any rational connection between anti-Semitism concerns and the medical, scientific, technological, and other research it has frozen that aims to save American lives, foster American success, preserve American security, and maintain Americans' position as a global leader in innovation." And so Harvard is the real victim here, right? They were told very clearly, hey, you've got to deal with the anti-Semitism that is running rampant on your campus and all these left-wing liberal elitist universities where for the last 2.5 years, they've been chanting from the river to the seas, death to Israel, right? We all saw that take place. Nobody can say that that didn't happen. There are hundreds of videos online, hundreds of newscasts showing individuals chanting this on college campuses, many of them students, many of them paid outside activists rolling up on campuses like Harvard University and acting in this manner. The federal government has said, you need to change and you need to adopt your policies to deal with anti-Semitism that exists on your campus. And Harvard University has said, no, we're not going to do it. The lawsuit goes on by saying, nor has the government acknowledged the significant consequences that the indefinite freeze of billions of dollars in federal research funding will have on Harvard's research programs and beneficiaries of that research and the national interest in futuring American innovation and progress. But see, again, Harvard University was warned of this. They were told, if you don't get in line with changes at the federal level, you are going to lose your money. And instead, now they are crying wolf as if somebody else is doing something wrong, and it's not their fault at all. They've done nothing wrong. That's what the lawsuit claims. Yet it was their own stupid, ridiculous actions that have caused this to take place, right? Their own decision. Not my decision, not your decision, Harvard's decision to do this, their own. And now they're suing the federal government in response to losing this money. Harvard has continued to reject the Trump administration's demands to make changes in its approach to combating anti-Semitism after initially admitting that they were not doing enough in some of the requests. Earlier this month, Harvard's president sent a letter to the White House refusing requests to further crack down on anti-Semitism due to concerns that the federal government's demand may violate the Ivy League institution's First Amendment rights. In turn, the administration responded by pulling $2.2 billion in multi-year grants to Harvard. Right, so, I mean, the article says it right here. They refused to follow through with some of the requests from the federal government in dealing with anti-Semitism on campus. So how is Harvard the victim here? How have they manipulated this situation into now they are the good guys in this entire thing? They've done nothing wrong. Woe is me, Harvard University. We've done nothing wrong. We haven't heard anything. We haven't heard anybody. Not this, not that. It's absurd. They chose to do this. I mean, this is unfortunately a very similar saga to many things that we've talked about over the last couple of months. Folks, the discussion and the conversation here is very simple. There is a new administration in Washington, D.C. There is a new group of individuals that are calling the shots at the federal level. You have two options. You either play ball with them, and when executive orders are signed or new mandates come down from the federal government, you play ball and get in line with them, or you get out. Those are the two options. It's A or B. There's no C, D, E, or F. No, there's two options, A or B. Play ball or get out. That's it. And if you want to get out, which Harvard University decided they wanted to do, you're going to lose your federal funding. You're going to lose the $2.2 billion worth of research funding, which I would argue is probably a huge waste of money anyway. Let's be perfectly honest. I'm not sure that $2 billion worth of research is coming out of Harvard that me as an American taxpayer, you as an American taxpayer can't live without. I mean, and Harvard is this great Ivy League institution anyway. If this research is so damn important to them as they claim, oh, we're going to protect American innovation and we got to do this, fund the damn research yourself. I mean, fund the research yourself if that's the case. If it's so important and you guys are this moral beacon of American society, then fund the research yourself. You guys have billions of dollars in endowments. Fund the research. Right? What's the issue here? The issue is that individuals are attempting to call the bluff of the administration, right? That's what's going on. And you've seen this from individuals within the federal government. You've seen it from private institutions. You've seen it from foreign countries. Everybody is attempting to call Trump's bluff on whatever he's doing, whatever the administration is doing. And thus far, it's been not a good look for those individuals. Because when the administration is moving forward with something, in the case of dealing with Harvard and the rampant anti-Semitism that exists on their campus, the administration says, change your policies, change the way that you act, and there won't be any problems. Harvard does not want to play ball. Harvard has no interest in getting rid of anti-Semitism on their campus. Right? It's thriving on college campuses like Harvard, and now they're being slapped back down into reality. And instead of changing their ways, what are they doing? Now they're suing the federal government. They are now taking legal prowess against the federal government. And they're doing it with a cadre of individuals that are all in support of it. Senator Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas as she's known, said that she was, quote, very proud of Harvard University for opposing the Trump administration's demands regarding the school's diversity policies and its response to campus anti-Semitism. So maybe Elizabeth Warren can write you the $2 billion check. I mean, that's what it seems like to me. If Elizabeth Warren's all in favor, maybe she should go fundraise for Harvard University. Maybe she can raise a bunch of money and fund all of this phenomenal research that we are supposed to be believing is coming out of Harvard. It's quite shocking to me that all of these colleges, all of these universities don't understand what's going on here. You're not going to bully Trump out of changing his thoughts on this stuff. You're not going to bully the president from changing his path on this. And the idea that you think you can, oh, because you're Harvard University? Nobody cares. When you look at the elitist activity that exists on these campuses, Harvard University is not in the favor of the vast majority of American citizens. Now, if you're somebody that went to Harvard University, if you're a Harvard alum, sure. But it turns out 99.9% of Americans are not, right? They don't have this permanent fiat to Harvard University. They think of it, and rightfully so, see it as an elitist entitled university, of which in fact it is. So I don't really understand the game plan here. You were told to do something. You said no. You were warned that there would be consequences if you didn't do it. You still said no. Then those consequences came to fruition. Now you're suing the federal government. But what part of this is so complicated and confusing? You've seen this from workers within the federal government that have decided, no, I'm going to stand up against the Trump administration. I'm going to fight back. I'm going to resist the administration. How's that working out for you? You're getting fired. You're losing your job. You don't get to choose whether you follow the mandates of the administration. It's very simple. If you're going to receive $2.2 billion from the federal government, this is just my thought. Maybe I'm too much of a simple man to figure this one out. But if my employer tells me to do or not do something, and I refuse to do or not do whatever it is, and I'm going to actively work against them and actively push back against what they're asking me to do, I'm likely going to lose my job, right? There's going to be a consequence for my actions. And for whatever reason, Harvard University doesn't seem to understand that. You would assume with all of the great wealth in that college, the great intellectual wealth, somebody high up in that university would say, hey, guys, we don't think the Trump administration is going to fold their cards here. We don't think they're bluffing. They've warned us to do this or to not do this, to change our policy, to change this, to change that, and we haven't done it. Maybe that's a bad idea. Maybe that's a stupid thing to do. I don't know. I would hope that somebody within this great institution of higher learning would be able to pull their head out of a book for 15 seconds and realize that this probably isn't going to work out in favor of the university over at Harvard. So here's Elizabeth Warren back just a couple of days ago on CNBC talking about this and talking about how very proud she is of Harvard for standing up to, of course, Big Bad Orange Man and all the awful things that he's doing. Here's Pocahontas from Massachusetts.
Before you go, how do you think the Harvard situation resolves itself, if at all?
Look, I'm looking for the off-ramp here for the Trump administration. People are asking around the country, why are we better off to cut research on cancer, on Alzheimer's, on tuberculosis? You know, that's where this money goes. These are research grants. And these are research grants. They weren't given out politically. They were given out to people who are doing work that helps keep us all safer and healthier. We are not better and stronger because Donald Trump wakes up one day and decides he wants to cut that research.
But see, this is what I don't understand. If this research is so damn important, like Elizabeth Warren is talking about, if Harvard cares so much about this research, then capitulate to the demands of the administration. I mean, that's what I don't get about this whole thing. Now the administration is the bad guy in the room, yet Elizabeth Warren goes, oh, this is very important research for tuberculosis and cancer and Alzheimer's. Yeah, great. So why is Harvard putting that money at risk by giving the bird to the administration? Why is Harvard flipping off the Trump administration and saying, no, we're not going to do what you want at the risk of losing this money if it's so important? Where's the onus on Harvard for their stupid actions?
So I think I'm actually very proud of Harvard to stand up and say, we're not going to do
this. But here's the thing. Then how should they be held accountable for failing to protect civil rights of Jewish students And also, you know, this question about the tax-exempt status, which there are reports that he's trying to take away for political entity, there's ample evidence that a lot of the faculty that they employ are progressive is increasingly political.
So if you believe that, go to court.
If you believe it, what do you mean if you believe it? It's true. Sarah Eisen, who's asking this question on CNBC, is not a conservative, is not a Republican by any means. If you ever watch CNBC, Squawk on the Street, you know that Sarah Eisen is a liberal. She is not a friend of Donald Trump. She is a friend of the Democrat Party. And so I'm going to roll this back. The question that she's asking is exactly the one that needs to be asked. And when she is calling out Elizabeth Warren and saying, hey, what about all of the stuff that this administration failed to do? That's not a good sign for the left. That is a very bad indication for the individuals that are making this point. I'm rolling this back. Listen to Sarah Eisen's question again. Not a friend of Donald Trump, a friend of the Democrat Party, a liberal. Listen to this.
Held accountable for failing to protect civil rights of Jewish students. And also, you know, this question about the tax-exempt status, which there are reports that he's trying to take away for political entity, there's ample evidence that a lot of the faculty that they employ are progressive is increasingly political.
So if you believe that, go to court. Go to court. You start the process, and you know what? Instead of just mouthing off about what you think is happening, actually present some evidence. And let's look at the evidence. Let's let the other side come in and question that evidence. But you don't just get to lip off and say, and therefore the king gets to wave his magic wand and say, off with your head.
Doesn't the government determine where federal tax dollars go? Well, so they're allowed to decide.
Do you think they have a big bushel basket of money and they just say, you, good looking, you will have money. You, not so good looking, you're going to have to go hungry for a while. That's not how it works.
No, that's literally exactly how it works. That is exactly how it works. At the discretion of the administration, money is doled out all over the place. There's nothing in the United States Constitution that requires Harvard to receive $2.2 billion worth of research funding. That is not enshrined in law. That is not enshrined in the Constitution. It's not enshrined in the Bill of Rights. It exists nowhere. It is an administrative decision that is made. The money can be given out as quickly as it's taken away. She goes, oh, he's a king. No, he's the president of the United States who gets to determine how federal dollars, in some cases, how federal dollars are administered, what programs are funded, what grants are dealt with. That absolutely is something that the president, aka the administration, has the authority to do. Right? The money's not coming out of the president's personal pocketbook. The money's coming out of federal entities and agencies of which this administration has control over. Right? That's how our makeup of the government works. When you lose an election like the Democrats did in November because their ideas are awful and unpopular with the American people, new people come in that have different ideas and have different priorities. That's how our government works. That's what happens when Democrats win. That's what happens when Republicans win. Right, the priorities of the Bush administration were different than the Obama administration. The ideas of the Obama administration were different than the first Trump administration. Right, so federal priorities change. What money is spent on changes. What agencies fund change. Elizabeth Warren, who has spent her entire career in politics, seemingly can't wrap her head around this. I mean, she's always come off as a relatively intelligent individual, but she seems completely baffled by the fact that the administration, who warned Harvard that this money was going to be pulled if they didn't get in line, then had their money pulled. They were warned. This didn't just happen randomly. They were warned that if you don't change your actions and clean up your act, this is what's going to happen. But it's not good enough for old Pocahontas.
Just do Con Law 101, and that is, Congress writes those laws and allocates that money. The administration's job is to enforce those laws and spend that money the way the law tells them. And if they fail to do that, part three is the courts are the ones who step in and enforce the law. That's the three
parts. Unless you defy or find probable cause that you've defied a judicial order.
Well, that's the whole point now. But the point is, We still, in the United States, have a constitution.
Oh, really?
And whatever side of the political spectrum you're on, that's what serves all of us. And that's what keeps us all strong. That's what...
So, like, when the Supreme Court told Joe Biden that he couldn't forgive student loan debt, and he went around the court order and did it anyway, is that the constitution that Elizabeth Warren is lecturing us on this morning? Have you found it odd? I have found this rather interesting over the last couple of, I guess it's probably, well, it's essentially been since Trump's been in the White House. You've seen a lot of individuals on the left all of a sudden quoting the Constitution. All of a sudden, the left cares so much about our constitutional rights and our constitutional freedoms in the United States. When the left was in power, they did everything they could to squash the Constitution. Call it a living document. We can infringe on your rights, even though they're enshrined in the Constitution, because it's a living document. But now that the left is out of power because they could not win an election in November of last year, all of a sudden they are the greatest fans of the United States Constitution. When they're in power, they'll burn it. But when they're out of power, they're going to constantly go back and claim, well, we just have to follow the Constitution. We just have to follow the Constitution. We just got to follow the Constitution. These people are nuts. I mean, they're certifiably insane. We've got some comments coming in on Rumble this morning. The left are bona fide wackos. Oh, there you go. Sounds pretty pretty bang on right there as well. Let's get some more constitutional advice from Elizabeth Warren. Let's see what she's got to say.
What gives us a chance to build prosperity? You take that away and it may work great for a handful of billionaires. But for everybody else in this country, for every kid who needs that public school, for every senior who needs that Social Security check, for every veteran who counts on the promise that was made,
has nothing to do with Harvard
or her, you take that away, and our country is not just a little bit poorer. Our country fundamentally breaks apart.
You'll have to come back. We didn't even get to Doge. There's so many issues.
I'm ready.
Senator Elizabeth Warren, it's so good to have you here.
Okay. There you go. So, from Harvard University failing to meet the demands of the administration, having $2.2 billion worth of federal funding pulled, research funding pulled. From that to somehow pulling this money from Harvard is helping billionaires and is hurting individuals that get Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. I'm failing to draw the analogy, failing to draw the parallel between those two things existing. And it's the reason I'm failing to draw that parallel is because it doesn't exist. Again, Harvard University was warned to get their act in line. They chose to defy the administration. And now, guess what, folks? Say it with me. Actions have consequences. Actions have consequences. This is something that is very hard for the left to wrap their head around, obviously. I mean, you have Elizabeth Warren sitting up. So she claims that the administration should have taken Harvard to court over their internal policies. The federal government would have no standing in a court of law to challenge Harvard's own internal policies. They're a private institution, right? When you sue somebody, you have to have standing to sue them. All right, I can't, if you're battling with somebody, I can't just insert myself into the lawsuit. I don't, in the legal sense, it's you don't have standing. You have no vested interest in this to step into it. I don't believe, and I'm not an attorney, but I don't know what kind of argument the federal government could make to sue Harvard over their internal code of conduct, code of ethics, whatever you want to call it. The federal government has no standing. What the federal government does have the ability to do is to pull funding from that university. And that's exactly what the administration has done. Not randomly. They didn't, Trump, you know, Elizabeth Warren claims Trump just woke up one morning and like a king pulled the money. Not at all. He warned Harvard. Presumably high up individuals within the administration had conversations with the equals, high up individuals over at Harvard, warned them what was going to go on. It was telegraphed publicly. No secret, no surprise. Harvard decided to ignore it. So here you go. This is how it's played out. So you'll have to excuse me for not crying and shedding a tear this morning for Harvard University and how poorly they're being treated by the administration. My level of sympathy is non-existent for that university. So now they're suing the administration, and this will be another saga within Trump's administration going to court and see if they, I'm sure Harvard will find a way to shop this and get this in front of some left-wing activist judge, and probably another case that will go to the United States Supreme Court, because that's how all of this has seemingly unfolded over the last couple of months. We'll keep an eye on the Harvard story and see what's going on there. We've got a couple of details, updates this morning on the death of Pope Francis at 88 years old yesterday. The official announcement from the Vatican is that the Pope Francis died on Easter Monday of a stroke and cardiac arrest. That was reported yesterday afternoon by the Vatican. The Pope's death followed years of ongoing health concerns, including a recent hospitalization for double pneumonia. With that, the funeral is set to be held Saturday in the Vatican City. Pope Francis will be laid to rest on Saturday after laying in state for 3 days in St. Peter's Basilica, where the faithful are expected to flock to pay their respects to the history's first Latin American pope. The cardinals met yesterday, cardinals will meet today in the Vatican to begin the process of getting everything to take place. The conclave, as we talked about yesterday, will begin between May 5th and May 10th. May 5th is less than 2 weeks away. That's coming up in two Mondays. May 10th is two Saturdays from this Saturday. So sometime in the next 2 weeks, we will see the conclave begin. We did also hear that President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump are planning on attending the funeral that will be taking place on Saturday, as well as the Argentinian President Javier Milei. That will all be taking place. The funeral is set for a 10 a.m. local time in St. Peter's Square. You'll have to excuse me. I don't know what the time translation on that is. It will be pretty early in the United States, 10 a.m. Over in the Vatican, where that's set to take place in St. Peter's Square. So that will be taking place there. We'll keep an eye on any additional details and watch this very interesting conclave process as it unfolds, and bring you details right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, we have seen a lot of very interesting videos and posts and comments on social media over the last couple of months. Individuals destroying other people's property. The biggest example of this has been individuals that own Teslas. We've got a couple of very interesting stories this morning out of Minnesota, another one out of Minneapolis as well, the city of Minneapolis. We'll have those details coming up for you here in just a few minutes. I want to remind you that if you are interested in getting access to additional content, including daily show notes and our monthly Zoom call, which will be happening next week, you can head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig, get those daily show notes and access to the monthly Zoom hangout. We chat one night a month, chat for a couple of hours about the news, politics of the day, everything that's going on. You can get those details over at patreon.com/Nick Craig, supporting the show financially. $5, $10 a month. Appreciate everybody that has come on board over the last few months and supported the program. A very interesting story as it relates to this Tesla vandalism coming up. You're listening to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. We've got an update this morning on a couple of vandals that decided that they were going to take it upon themselves to destroy individuals' personal property. And because that's what this whole Tesla vandal thing that we've seen. And I think it's important to maybe take a couple of steps back and look at how we got to this situation. Elon Musk, who was the darling of the left in years past, had made an amazing car, the various Tesla models, first starting with the regular sedan, then working into some SUV models and the Cybertruck, all that fun stuff, right? Darling of the left. His cars were amazing. They didn't burn that evil toxic gas that the left is always yelling and screaming about, contributing to climate change, causing the world to spontaneously combust because you're driving your car to work for 6.5 miles a day, and that's going to cause the temperature to rise and the earth to just explode randomly because of global warming. All of that fun stuff that the left cares about. So a bunch of people went out and bought Teslas, many because they were ideologically aligned with saving the environment, as they claim. So they bought a Tesla. Other individuals bought it because they're super cool cars. The technology in them is amazing and super fascinating. And so you've got hundreds of thousands of these things that are now driving around the streets. Or you see them pretty frequently now. In my drive, I'd say if I'm driving 5 days a week, maybe three of those days, I drive by a Tesla, whether it be a Cybertruck or a Model Y or some other vehicle that Tesla makes. So now you've got all of these cars out in the wild, and now the left, who is completely unhinged from reality, has decided to wage war against Elon Musk, who was their savior and hero, is now public enemy number one, because he has decided to get involved in the administration and has decided that there are serious problems and is leading the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. You've heard a lot about that. We've talked a lot about that. So now the left has taken it upon themselves to destroy individuals' private property. That's what this is. Radical progressive leftists have decided, because you made a decision that, by the way, they probably, in some cases, wanted you to make. You bought the electric vehicle that they wanted you to buy to save the environment. Now they are going to take your personal private property and damage and destroy it. They are going to take the thing that you paid for with your money and destroy that piece of or that personal property. You've seen these videos all over the internet over the last couple of months. Predominantly white women walking by cars, Teslas, and scraping them, scratching them up, keying them, whatever they're doing. Predominantly white liberal women who are the biggest offenders of all of this. So, interestingly enough, I guess these people are too stupid, and I guess it makes sense based on their political ideology. They're too stupid to understand that these cars have like 17 cameras on them. I mean, the entire car has cameras all over it. Every square inch of that vehicle has a camera. Yet, for whatever reason, these moron leftists continue to go and destroy these people's property. So now you're getting individuals that are being charged and being criminally prosecuted for their actions, right? The same way that if I went and scratched up somebody's car and was purposely keying cars 3 years ago, for whatever reason, because I just wanted to, if caught, I would be criminally charged with vandalism. I would be criminally charged with defacing and destroying somebody's private property, right? That's how this process works. It's not very complicated. You go to somebody's house and break all their windows and smash in their front door, you're going to be charged with something. But because it's not your property, you don't have the authority to go forward and destroy and damage somebody else's property because you disagree with Elon Musk's politics. Now, I know the left sees a straight pipeline there, and they can justify their actions because Orange Man bad and Elon Musk bad, and pretty much everything revolves around that. But in any normal person's head, that's an insane parallel to draw. You hate Elon Musk, therefore you're going to damage somebody's property. It's not Elon's property. It's not his car you're keying. It's some random person that bought a Tesla. Many cases, individuals that are politically aligned with you because you guys were the ones freaking out about global warming and climate change. That's kind of the irony in all of this, right? So here's a pretty concerning headline over at the Minnesota Star Tribune this morning. Suspect in Tesla vandalism spree in Minneapolis to be entered into diversion program and not charged. Why is that happening? Well, because of left-wing prosecutors and left-wing judges. The rule of law continues to be dead in America. The Hennepin County Attorney's Office has decided not to criminally charge a 33-year-old man accused of inflicting $21,000 in damages to six Teslas in Minneapolis over a few-day span. Instead, the office will file for Dylan Brian Adams of Minneapolis to be entered into an adult diversion program meant for first-time low-level offenders. Well, this is another George Soros DA. The Hennepin County Attorney's Office spokesman said, quote, "Our main priorities are to secure restitution for the victims and hold Mr. Adams accountable. As a result, we will file for pre-charge diversion to best facilitate both of those goals. This is an approach taken in many property crime cases and helps to ensure that individuals keep their jobs and can pay restitution, as well as reducing the likelihood of repeat offenses. Criminal prosecution remains a possibility should unlawful behavior continue." So what I take out of this story is that, at least in Hennepin County, if you're in Minneapolis, Minnesota, you have carte blanche to go and damage other people's property. And you're literally going to get a slap on the wrist. All this guy's got to do is go through an adult diversion program, sit through a couple hours of a class, and he's done. Regardless of the crime. Regardless of $21,000 in personal private property damage, the district attorney's office is giving him a slap on the wrist and allowing him to go forward. Adams, the individual, Dylan Adams, works for the State Department of Human Services, and a state database says that he is a program consultant. So this guy's an employee of the state government in Minnesota. A statement from DHS sent to the Star Tribune on Monday reads as follows, quote, "We are reviewing the matter at this time. State employees are expected to follow our code of conduct and hold themselves to the highest ethical standards through their words and their actions." So hopefully this guy's fired and loses his job. In recent months, people across the country and in the Twin Cities have vandalized Tesla vehicles in protest of Elon Musk, an advisor to President Donald Trump and his Department of Government Efficiency, as they significantly cut federal workers and programs. Adams was arrested and booked into jail Wednesday morning of last week and released Thursday afternoon. His attorney said, quote, "My client is very remorseful for his actions and is beginning the process of making sure the victims are made whole financially. We are grateful for the Hennepin County Attorney's Office exercise of prosecutorial discretion and apologize to the victims and law enforcement." What a bunch of bullshit. I mean, what a bunch of bullshit that statement is. He's remorseful. He keyed up 6 different people's cars. He committed $21,000 worth of property damage. He's not remorseful. This guy is a flaming, progressive, mentally ill, out of control liberal. How crazy must you be to believe that keying somebody's car is going to hurt Elon Musk, who you hate? Folks, we all sat through 4 years of Joe Biden in the Oval Office. We sat through 4 years of Democrat rule in Washington, D.C. Did you ever contemplate keying somebody's car that had a Joe Biden, Kamala Harris sticker on it? Did you ever contemplate going to somebody's house who had a Biden-Harris sign in the front yard or a Biden-Harris flag and defacing their private property? The answer is hell no, because that's not how sane people operate. It's okay to have political disagreements. I would argue it's a good thing to have political disagreements. But when that translates into you going out and committing $21,000 worth of vandalism, $21,000 worth of property crime, you're mentally ill. You're insane. You are certifiably insane. But, you know, his attorney says he's very remorseful for his actions. And he's remorseful because he's getting a cupcake sweetheart deal from the Hennepin County District Attorney's Office. In a statement provided Monday night, the Minneapolis police chief, Brian O'Hara, voiced frustrations about Adams not being formally charged. So now you've got the police department chiming in. Quote, "The Minneapolis Police Department did its job," said the police chief. "It identified and investigated a crime trend. identified and arrested a suspect and presented a case to the Hennepin County Attorney's Office for consideration of charges. This case impacted at least six victims and totaled over $20,000 in damages. Any frustration related to the charge decision of the Hennepin County attorney should be solely at her office. Our investigators are always frustrated when cases that they poured their hearts into are declined. And in my experience, the victims in this case often feel the same. The estimated damages to the Teslas that Adams allegedly keyed ranged from about $1,600 on one car to over $10,000 on another, according to police. Participants in the county attorney's diversion program are expected to sign a contract which would include conditions like community service and restitution payments. They are also referred to services such as chemical dependency or mental health resources as well. Part of the goal with the diversion is to reduce costs in the criminal justice system and the number of repeat offenders. This guy needs to be thrown in jail. And that's what needs to happen. That's exactly what needs to go on. A news conference last week, police showed car camera videos from four of the incidents. The footage showed a man approaching each vehicle and scraping it with a key. In three of the four videos, he was walking a dog, and in some of the videos, it appeared the man was writing something on the cars. Christine Van Hook, the owner of one of the vandalized Teslas, said she and her husband thought some of these scribblings looked like a failed attempt at a swastika, which would be very on brand with the left. Very on brand with the left. Vanderhook said that she bought her car before Musk assumed his advisory role and had a sticker on her car indicating her family did not support the Trump administration. Isn't that great? She bought the car because she was told by the left you have to buy a Tesla to save the environment. She put a freaking sticker on her Tesla to say, I don't support the administration, yet this out-of-control, mentally insane leftist lunatic keyed her car anyway. It's unimaginable. Unreal. But this is what's going on. And in Hennepin County, city of Minneapolis, Minnesota, what's going on there? You've got a left-wing prosecutor, a left-wing district attorney in the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office that is giving this individual a slap on the wrist. Giving this individual the opportunity to walk away scot-free and not actually face actions for their consequences. And here's the look at the public defender. She is a Democrat. She has been a Democrat. She was appointed to various offices by Democrats in Hennepin County. She is a George Soros DA. And I know the left loves to foam at the mouth every time Republicans talk about Soros. But folks, these are the examples, right? When we talk about left-wing prosecutors, left-wing district attorneys being put into these positions, this is the result. This is what we're talking about. The rule of law does not matter to these people. If you were a Republican in Hennepin County, and did $21,000 worth of damage to somebody's house who had a Joe Biden flag on it, I can guarantee you a diversion program would not be requested by the prosecutor's office. I can guarantee you that you would not be sent to a diversion program. You would be criminally prosecuted and potentially face jail time. Now, if you're a first-time offender, maybe not, but it would be on the it would be a discussion. It would be on the table. But because this individual, who is a flaming mentally ill leftist, committed these actions, and we know that these Soros DAs are not hard on crime, we know that these Soros DAs don't care about the rule of law, they don't care about individuals breaking laws as long as they're on their same team. May I remind you the summer of love in 2020, right, when you were told you can't leave your house due to COVID-19, it's magically you're going to open up your front door and die from COVID. Yet in cities all across America, you had left-wing agitators and protesters destroying cities, firebombing buildings, flipping over cars, assaulting law enforcement. That was okay. How many of those individuals ended up getting charged? How many bricks went through glass windows then downtown Raleigh? How many of those people were charged? What were they looking at for their criminal prosecution? Meanwhile, you're a gym owner in North Carolina during COVID under Democrat Governor Roy Cooper, and you're thrown in jail. You're arrested by police for opening up your gym. That illegal. Committing violence in the streets over George Floyd, that's okay. That's totally acceptable, right? Because whatever sort of racial justice these morons were looking for is justified by flipping over cars, burning cities to the ground. All good to go. Totally above board, totally normal. It's insane. Aqua Blue points out a comment in our Rumble chat this morning. Someone praying on a sidewalk near an abortion clinic gets jail time. Exactly, Aqua Blue. Great comment. You are pro-life, and you are voicing your opinion, jail. But, you know, just scratching up six Teslas because you're an insane leftist. Nah, that's totally good. That's totally fine. No problems there at all. This guy also, is an employee of the state. I mean, look at this guy. Look at this guy. This is the individual at charge. Look at his mugshot. How brave. What's he wearing? A Golden State Warriors jersey? Keying somebody's car because he disagrees with Elon Musk? This guy's the quintessential definition of what's wrong with the left. But see, he's getting a slap on the wrist. And this is the issue as we deal with rule of law, right? As we talk about dealing with the rule of law and talking about individuals being held responsible for their actions. When you've got these left-wing district attorneys that allow this lawlessness to continue, what happens? Well, the crimes continue to get committed. People continue to commit these acts because they know they are not going to be held responsible. Individuals will now go out and key more of these cars because there's no real consequences, right? That's the biggest issue when you start deciding whether you're going to hold people responsible for the actions they commit. The same way that when you don't enforce immigration laws, people come across the country. Look at how brave this guy is in his New Balances, carving a swastika or something into this guy's car. Brave liberal. Look at the rage. Ha! Really got him. Huh, wearing his Steph Curry jersey. What a scumbag. What a scumbag. But it's okay. But it's totally fine because there's no issue. By the way, interesting to note, in one of the video clips shown by police, it indicates that the damage took place Monday, March 24th, just after 2 p.m., which is now raising questions about whether Adams is on a work-from-home status with the state and if the vandalism took place while Adams was on the taxpayer clock at the time, which I'm sure it was. Right? That's been the biggest scam. And whoa, work-from-home, work-from-home, work-from-home. I'm sure this guy was working from home. He was at a Target vandalizing people's property. Working from home very hard. Unreal. But are you surprised? This is what we've seen, unfortunately, unfold over the last couple of years. This is the unfortunate reality of soft-on-crime prosecution in the United States. This is the sad reality when you allow people to commit crimes over and over again and nobody is ever held accountable. Nobody is ever held responsible for the things that they do. And I can't say that I'm shocked or surprised by it because this is very much par for the course. This is very much what we've seen over the last couple of years. Here is the Minneapolis police chief in a press conference that took place on the 17th, so I guess this would have been Thursday, describing what was going on here. Take a listen to this.
Sergeant Rob Iletschko, Robilletschko. Sergeant Iletschko is a veteran member of the department, and he's currently assigned to the 1st Precinct as a property crimes investigator. We're here to announce the arrest of a suspect in a string of downtown vandalism cases and to recognize the outstanding police work that's behind that arrest. Sergeant Rob Olechko is a veteran investigator in our First Precinct Property Crimes Unit, and he is one of the MPD's most experienced and effective detectives. You may recall his work cracking a downtown cell phone theft ring dating back to 2021. That ring targeted bar goers that were unsuspecting. The suspects in that case stole cell phones and then used the information on those phones to drain people's bank accounts and to rack up tens of thousands of dollars in credit card purchases. Thanks to Sergeant Olechko's efforts, his investigations shut down that theft ring with international ties, which eventually led to Apple making changes to its global iPhone security practices. In this latest investigation into damaged Tesla vehicles, Sergeant Olechko helped identify and arrest a suspect caught on camera keying multiple Teslas, causing thousands of dollars in damage. In each case, and each of the six cases that we know of, was felony level of damage.
Felony level damage. This guy's not going to be prosecuted at all? Committed six different felonies? Right, because property crime up to a certain point is a misdemeanor. But once it reaches a certain level, it becomes a felony. This guy's not even going to be prosecuted. This is what the left wants. You know, Trump ran on one of his big issues was unfair and unjust prosecution in the United States and how the legal system is targeting political foes of the left and admonishing crimes committed by individuals that are politically and ideologically aligned with Democrats. He ran on that. He talked about it constantly. And here is the example of it unfolding in real time. So I'm curious, this has gotten some pretty big national news since it was announced yesterday that the Hennepin County Attorney's Office was not going to file criminal charges. I wonder if there's going to be enough outrage that they end up reversing course on this. I'm curious if that's what's going to happen here. I'm going to keep a very close eye on it. We'll let you know if there's any additional details as it relates to this story, but just a wild one. And this is the result of George Soros-funded soft-on-crime DAs in major Democrat cities like Minneapolis, which is a textbook definition of an out-of-control leftist progressive hellhole. Plain and simple. Crime out of control, vandalism out of control, nobody ever held accountable for it. There you go, Democrats. Right? These are the cities that you guys want. These are your shining stars, your northern stars that you're following. This is the example that you're setting. And we wonder why the Democrats can't win elections. We wonder why the Democrats have fallen out of favor with the American public. Maybe it's because of stories like this, where there's a guy on video while he's apparently working for the state, working in the Department of Health and Human Services in the state of Minnesota, while he's on the clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, going to Target and keying somebody's car. Maybe that's why you guys can't win elections. I don't know. I mean, don't take any advice from me. What do I know? What am I talking about? Unreal. Well, that's going to do it for a Tuesday edition of the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up tomorrow morning, we will do a deep dive into the new Hanover County budget proposal, a budget work session taking place yesterday. I'll have all the details, audio, and video from that coming up. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're back tomorrow morning live and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts.